It makes us realize that this is real. This is something that has really changed the life. And it's so valuable and important because we live in the age of the phony. When in religion there are too many who can glibly talk the talk, but where is the heart? Where is the depth and the reality of love, submission, self-sacrifice? All the things that we see in this woman in Luke 7, as she took her alabaster box of ointment, firstly washed the Savior's feet with her tears and her hair, and then anointed the Lord's feet.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we do thank you for joining with us here on the program today. And may the Lord draw very near as we minister His Word. We're looking at the greatest woman convert of the Bible, Luke chapter 7. And here is someone who was mightily converted from a life of sin. And we rejoice that the good news of the gospel is just as true today as when our Lord Jesus walked on this scene of time. So stay tuned with us as we'll be looking at Luke 7 a little bit. We'll give you some announcements concerning our website. They'll have our hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. And our question answer today is, what is the aim or purpose of a biblical Sunday school? Now, we want to deal with this in a very simple manner. This might be a given to many of God's mature people, but in light of confusion about church life and the very nature of worship declining in so many places, we need to define and establish the aim of the biblical Sunday school. Too many so-called teachers merely fill the time without a proper biblical goal in mind. And when little boys and girls are dropped off at a church Sunday school, I'm afraid sometimes they just is a waste of time. It's entertainment, it's games, it's all about fun. But do they really learn? Now, as a child grows up in Sunday school and graduates in teen years, he or she must know her Bible. That is the first and foremost task, to bring children to know their Bibles. Little or nothing can be done with empty heads, with man-made thinking. Children have all the questions to ask, and we need to have answers. Answers from the Bible. Whether it's creation, whether it is where life came from, where God came from, where the Lord Jesus was born, how He grew up, how He died, how He rose again from the grave. All of these things, boys and girls need to learn. Now, this work is firstly done with a thorough grounding in the contents of the Bible. A loaf of bread is more than the crust. Real food is in the flesh of the bread. Real gospel life for boys and girls is to learn of the truths of the Bible, the gospel accounts of the Savior's life and the sermons which He preached. Children cannot make any decisions about salvation, about the world, heaven or hell, until they know the truth. Now, stories are important to children. The Lord has furnished us with many to set forth the good news of the gospel through parables and real-life situations. Bible memorization is also key to giving children tools to learn and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We believe in the power of God's Word. It is the inspired, inerrant, and God-breathed Word. Therefore, it's even more powerful when it is committed to heart. The Word is the instrument of faith and the means to work repentance. It's also preventative. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so that word needs to be learned. It needs to be taken to heart. This all takes discipline. The teacher needs to be well prepared. Parents need to bring their children regularly and on time. Children need to be challenged and encouraged to learn zealously. This calls for the art of teaching and the power of prayer to make the Sunday school a place of God's blessing. Many people grew up in Sunday school to receive a grounding in God's Word. Children today need that also. If we don't reach our children now, they will lose a precious heritage forever and look back over their youth as wasted years. They may have all the material luxuries of life, but no knowledge of God, the gospel, or the Bible. And that is really sad. I would that every Bible church had a growing Sunday school. Sadly, many churches struggle to reach beyond their own congregations. It takes drive, commitment, and spiritual power to keep a Sunday school alive. Will you take your children along where the Bible is truly taught? Remember, we're to train up a child in the way he should go. That is the responsibility of every parent, and it can be the joy of every Sunday school teacher. Is your son or daughter going to a good Sunday school? Our Sunday school meets at 9:30 a.m., and we have classes for all ages, including adults. Parents can be a student in church and a teacher at home. Come as a family. Leave as a family. You will be blessed. Give us a call or come along this Sunday to begin life in Sunday school. And now our message in song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast, and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. We're turning to Luke chapter 7 for our message today on the greatest woman convert in the Bible. And as you turn up the Word of God with us, you will discover for yourself that this is indeed a remarkable convert and one who turned in true repentance and faith unto the Lord. May you be blessed today through the Lord's Word.
To continue our theme of great converts in the Bible, therefore I have gone searching for what I have want to find as the greatest convert, woman convert, in all of the Bible. And I have landed upon Luke chapter 7, this a lady who was referred to, really her name is not given, as she was just called a sinful woman. Before she met the Lord Jesus, her life was a wreck. But after, her life was changed and became a model Christian woman. The Bible gives us a great many women who are great role models and stalwarts of the faith. You can run your eye through the Bible of Sarah, Hannah, the Marys, three Marys that are outstanding in the New Testament. You have in Romans 16, verse 1, Phoebe, the deaconess of that church, and in Romans 16, a whole host of ladies that are mentioned who give hospitality, served in the church. Then there is the mother and grandmother of Timothy, Lois and Eunice. And they are particularly named. But for some reason, this woman is not named. And so I'm going to give her a name. I'm going to call her the Luke 7 woman. Now, she's not the only one, so we have to refer to this particular one at the end of the chapter. She was a sinful woman. That was her case before conversion. But it certainly was not her case after conversion. And we know that now in heaven that she is glorified. She is no longer to be referred to as the sinful woman because she shines as with all of the saints. One of the remarkable things about the testimony that is given here in this record is her tears. She washed the Savior's feet with her hair and with her tears. And of course, this is above all the mark of genuineness. Those tears, they speak volumes. I've met a good many Christian women over the years who, when they tell of their Lord Jesus, they tell it with tears. And it stirs the heart. It makes us realize that this is real. This is something that has really changed the life. And it's so valuable and important because we live in the age of the phony. When in religion there are too many who can glibly talk the talk, but where is the heart? Where is the depth and the reality of love, submission, self-sacrifice? All the things that we see in this woman in Luke 7, as she took her alabaster box of ointment, firstly washed the Savior's feet with her tears and her hair, and then anointed the Lord's feet. She is an outstanding example of a true convert of the Lord Jesus. The biggest rebuke that this Simon the Pharisee received was this woman's testimony and her life. He had asked the Lord Jesus to come and dine that day, but somehow this Luke 7 woman got in the door. I don't know how. I'm sure she didn't get an invitation from Simon. There may have been some of the servants who somehow didn't realize who she was, because she was a sinful woman. She was a woman of ill repute in town, and there she was, anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus. This rubbed Simon the Pharisee the wrong way. He couldn't take it. And of course, in his own heart, he was criticizing and he was rebelling against this. I want to speak to you today about this woman's problem. We're told that she was a sinful woman. I want to also speak to you about her passion. We see this in her tears and her wiping the Savior's feet and showing tremendous devotion to her Lord. I want to also speak to you about her peace, because the Lord did say to her at the end of the whole chapter, "Go in peace." And ladies, my prayer is that you will bring your problems to the Lord, that you will become a woman of such passion as this Luke 7 woman. And my prayer also is that you will enjoy the peace that this woman was given that day. Firstly, the problem. It seems that this woman had made a name for herself. She was not among the ordinary women in town. She was very much a castaway. She stood for her infamy in sin, a bad name. And as you may know, a bad name sticks. It sticks like mud. Once you get a bad name, it's a hard thing to shirk off. It's a hard thing to gain a good name when you have been known as a sinner. And this was the Pharisee's reference to her. He had a problem with her because she was a sinner. There was no hope for her in his eyes. He just wanted rid of her. The sins of her life were damning in his eyes and repugnant to him. as a religious leader. He was a Pharisee, you see. A religious mind gave no hope to this sinful woman. Now, her problem was very personal. Wherever she went, her problem was with her. Luke says that she was a sinner. That was her history. But in the Pharisees' account, she could never get beyond that title. And there is the problem that all men and women face. How do you put sin behind you? How do you get rid of that stigma? This sin that follows along like an unwanted dog, it will keep turning up like bad debt to ruin you. How do you get rid of it? And of course, the truth is that for sinners, it will keep on dogging you right unto the judgment day. It will be there to haunt you in death. It will be there when you stand at the great white judgment throne, and that sin will always be there. Her problem was perpetual, not just personal, but perpetual, because she had many sins. It says right there, her sins, which are many. Now, the Lord did not downplay the facts. He did not argue with Simon and say, it's not true. Those are just false reports and rumors that have multiplied. No, the Lord faced the reality. She was a sinner with many sins. And this, of course, underscores the horror of sin, because there is no one that just commits one sin. Sin always travels in packs. It doesn't come at you in a single fashion, but it charges at you like a cavalry, and it will seek to destroy you and ruin you. You'll notice, however, that this was true of her before she met the Lord. But if you notice verse 50, where the whole story ends, that he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. And so her problem was met that day when she met the Lord. The Lord Jesus truly is the answer to the problem of sin. Let's never forget that. Let's come right back to the very basics of our first love and our first faith. You feel a failure. You feel that you've shamed the Lord. You feel that you have lost out. And you would have to agree that your sins are many. Well, this is the gospel's answer. The Lord Jesus pronounced that her faith had saved her. Now, notice the question in verse 49. Here is what caused a whole kerfuffle around those tables in Simon's home. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Bad enough that this sinful woman got in the door. Bad enough that she got sort of center stage as she washed the Savior's feet and the attention was upon her. But now, for this man, Jesus, who called himself a prophet, didn't know that she was such a sinner, to their minds and thinking, although he knew very well. And then for him to pronounce that her sins were forgiven, to a Pharisee's mind, that was a great problem. But of course, that's the gospel. Our Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save his people. And he takes the sinful and he makes them anew. I read this week that Longfellow, the author and writer, could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's capital. The Canadian Mint can take gold, stamp a loony on it, and make it worth very much whatever they want. A metal worker can take almost a useless piece of metal and turn it into an item worth $5 or more. That's skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. God can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it in the blood of Christ, put His Spirit within, and make it a blessing to all. That's salvation. And that's the business and the work that the Lord Jesus is in, to take the sinful, save them, and send them on their way. The Lord can do that for you today. He can take you and change you and bless you. That's her problem. Then we see her passion. And what a story of grace this Luke 7 woman was. She sought out the Lord in the Pharisee's home. Now that tells me, and I don't know the history, the Bible doesn't give us all this information, but it would tell me that the Lord had already saved this woman and done a work of grace in her heart. There was already a throbbing, thumping, bumping love in her soul for this Savior, because she sought Him in this Pharisee's home. When she learned that He was there to dine, she wanted in, and she wanted to attend, and she came and found her way. She also came with her alabaster box of ointment. Now, I have learned that this alabaster box, alabaster more refers to the type of the box than the ointment. It is the stoneware by which it is carved out, a very precious, a very valuable container. And of course, therefore, the ointment that is inside speaks that it's also of great value. Now, this is not the same account of the other woman who anointed the Lord with ointment that was worth 300 pence. It doesn't say that in this account. But here we are. And this woman brings that which is useful, that which is valuable, and she comes to anoint the Lord. She didn't come empty-handed. She didn't come with nothing. She came with the precious ointment and wanted to dedicate it to her Lord. That speaks loudly of a heart that was in love with her Savior. What have we brought to our Savior? How do we demonstrate the depth of devotion in our hearts? How can we do something that will tell the world that we love our Lord Jesus? She went on also to wash the Lord's feet with her hair. I can't think of a greater display of devotion than this. I've never witnessed such a thing, have you? Have you ever seen anyone washing someone else's feet with their hair? Now, I know how fussy women can be about hair. Women don't like hat hair. Women don't like flat hair. Women don't like frizzy hair. Women have to change their hair in all manner of ways to make it just right for them. That's women. That's very special. A woman's hair, as the Bible says, is her glory. It's her honor. And here she is. What's she doing? She is taking the very thing of her honor and she's using it for her Lord. What a mark of devotion. Wiping the Savior's dusty feet. And this was the practice. Washing feet was no strange thing. This was something that in every home of some riches where maidens would come along with a pail of water and a towel and wash the feet. But this woman was doing it with her hair. And she was displaying that she was giving her honor unto the Lord. Is there anything too much for the Lord? Is there any act too low for us to show our love to the Savior? What an example. And then she washed the Lord's feet with her tears. And I have to ask, what are these tears for? What are they about? And as you think of these tears, they seem to be extraordinary. They are beyond normal behavior. I know that it must have been emotional for her, but such tears, and in such volumes that she didn't need water, she could wash the dust of her Savior's feet with her own tears and her hair. I can see in this that these were tears for her sin. Now, they were not tears of merit. Tears never buy salvation. Tears are not meritorious. You know that hymn, "It's not our tears but the blood." And tears never make us right with God. You can weep every day for all eternity and never be in heaven. But this woman's tears, they tell us that she felt and knew the horror of sin. She had impressed upon her heart that she was a sinful woman. And so we recognize this as godly sorrow. Godly sorrow.
Our closing scripture word on Let the Bible Speak today is 1 Samuel 20, verse 42. "The Lord be between me and thee." These are the words of David to Jonathan, and they really are the God-fearing man's manner of dealing with his fellow men. "The Lord be between me and thee" means that what we agree upon, we do so in the fear of God. Whether we keep our word or break our word, we stand not before our disappointed brother, but before the God of heaven. This is a God-honoring way to do all business, whether it is in our family, in our church, in our business. The Lord be between me and thee. And I trust that in your affairs, that you will do all in the fear that God's eye is upon you. His ear is open to every word, and we shall give account on that eternal day. The Lord be between me and thee. And as I preach God's word to you today, I do so in the fear of the Lord, that I shall stand on the great eternal judgment day and give account of the message that I've delivered. But also, my friend, you shall give account of how you have received that word before God as from the Lord. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.